Discover Atari.
Atari!
And discover how far you can go.
Remember, you can tell it's Mattel. It's well.
Okay, let them go. Some of the great SSP racers for 72.
M-A-R-X spells Mark, world's largest toy maker.
Remember, every boy wants a Remco toy, and so do girls.
And remember, if it isn't Duncan, it isn't Yo-Yo. Games for All, Milton Bradley.
It's more fun to play the color forms way.
This is the Green Machine.
Be sure to get the real Silly Putty, because nothing else is Silly Putty.
Lionel, the originator of the electric model train. Makers of the most realistic, scale-detailed model train equipment.
While you're gnipping, he's gnopping.
Here's the fun for everyone with the American Fire All Aboard by...
It's Big Track, the computer-activated tracker and the automatic transporter.
And there's a hard drive to the top!
Miss H6.
You said my back was
it. It's ideal.
Take out his spirit, the 100 bars. Oh, you'll never do that. Don't touch the side. Here goes his funny bone.
There's no end to Lego.
Now it's recording.
I hit record.
Son of a blankety blankety blank.
Well, we're going to use this beginning too. So what are we doing?
Well, we're going to talk about the Atari box and also the SNES Mini Classic and some other, hopefully, toy topics.
So what's going on here is that for the first time, Willie and I are in the same room together instead of being in different states doing a podcast. And I guess we've kind of done a dry run of this because we talked about this kind of already, but it wasn't recording.
You did hit record button.
Well, I did, but nothing happened.
You did hit record button.
All right. So
I watched you. You did hit the record button.
Okay. I said 3, 2, 1. Boom. I hit the...
Well, you didn't.
Okay. See, this is why we sit in different states and do this. So anyway, here we are. And yes, we're going to talk about Atari Box and the...
SNES MIDI Classic?
Yes.
Another toy topics, hopefully.
Hopefully.
Because it's a Toy Tube podcast.
Yeah, if I have enough memory on this thing. So,
let's start with the Atari Box.
Okay, here's what I think about the Atari Box. Well, I guess we know what you think about the Atari Box. Nobody knows what the Atari Box is. Nobody has any news on the Atari Box. And Atari really are just, what are they showing, like a Photoshop image of what the Atari Box is supposed to look like?
Yeah, I don't think it's an actual unit. I don't think they have a prototype yet.
Yeah.
Another Tech Radar has been posting a lot of information on the Atari Box. I guess they're talking about maybe it's going to come out for like $250, something like that, $250, $300. Maybe have an SD card slot on it, have multiple outputs on it. Basically, what it's reminding me of is an Oya 2.0. It's basically going to be just a little streaming gaming box. That's all it is, basically.
Now, some people have speculated that it could have, like, the Atari 2600 catalog built into it.
Yeah, bloody likely.
Okay. Well, my thoughts, say, on that is, do we really need...
I don't think it's going to have what you remember as the 2600 ports.
No.
It's going to be modernized, stylized versions like they've done in the past with some of their other IP. I don't think you're going to get the original kind of stuff because a lot of there's not a whole lot of people out there that's really interested in that would pick one of these up.
Well, the other thing is, if you really want to play those 2600 games...
They're everywhere.
There are plug-and-plays.
Plug-and-plays.
Flashbacks.
Flashbacks.
You can... Yeah. And the other thing is, if this thing is supposed to work on high-def TVs, 4K yep. TVs and stuff, do you really want to see a 2600 game in 4K?
Wow, look at that pixel.
So that you can see just how sharp and square those pixels are. I really think that those games look much better. That's why I have that cathode ray TV over there. So that when I plug in my old consoles and stuff, they, you know, the color bleeds a little bit and softens the edges. That's what they were designed to do. You put them on a 4K or even any standard high def and you're like...
They don't look right when they're at high definition. No. They look kind of strange. Wow, that dragon does look like a duck.
Yeah. Yeah. Actually, I have to go over there to see what you're looking at, but I know what you're talking about. Yeah. The dragon in Adventure looks like a duck, definitely in high def. So, I don't think we really need a box from Atari that has... Unless they wanted to put something besides the 2600 in there. If they did all the streaming and all that stuff and they wanted to have some onboard games, what about some of the other consoles? If they put in 5200 games or if they put in 7800 games?
Mm.
Still no, huh?
How about an exclusive port of a Tempest game from Jeff Minter?
Well, now, see, now that these... Well, I think that
I'd be all over it for that.
Sure.
If you Tempest nut.
With the way memory is handled these days, and if you take the actual video game arcade games themselves that were in the arcades back in the 80s, that we all longed to play, but we went out and we got an Atari 2600, and then you could hear our frowns smashing the floor from coast to coast when we saw that Pac-Man didn't look like Pac-Man.
I was a simple Willy. I was excited.
No, I was too. I was not a simple Willy, mm-hmm. but I was simple, and I was thrilled to have all these games. But those were comparatively small games. Those arcade games,
yes,
memory-wise, compared to what they had today. Why doesn't Atari get the rights and put some of their arcade versions of their arcade games in the box?
Yeah, they got quite a few of them on their online website.
Yeah, but aren't they? They're not. What are they? Flash versions?
I think they're flash versions, but that means they own the IP at least,
right?
So they could do something. With
they could do something with it.
You know, like, you know, when they released the VR Battlezone on the PS4, which is the old green wireframe Battlezone, that was just freaking phenomenal. I love playing that.
Yeah.
Classic Battlezone mode.
Right.
On my PS4 and the VR unit.
And it looked like it.
So much fun. Oh, yeah. That's great.
It looked like it.
That's what they need to do, stuff like that.
Yeah. I mean, I don't want to see 2600 again. We've got 26. I got it up the wazoo. I mean, I got a 2600 console. I've got cartridges. I've got, you know, multi-carts. I've got... They're everywhere. Flashbacks.
Yeah, it's everywhere.
But, boy, if they could put some of their actual arcade games on there, and they could get quite a few on there. Yeah, they have the rights. They have them on the... don't they have them on the iPad? Can't you download these things on the iPad and the phone and
play? Yes.
Play a horrible touchscreen version of it.
Oh yeah, it's going to be interesting to see what kind of games they're going to come out with for this little box. I mean, I wish they would have like maybe some demos to show what kind of games you can expect to be on it. Just seeing a artist rendition of the console is not selling me on it. I need to see more about it. And I definitely would hate... If this goes on Indiegogo, I probably will not support it because you don't have to prototype when you go on Indiegogo. And that's a big warning sign for me. They're going to wait till they get the money before they actually start to develop the crazy thing. So, I don't know.
I think they jumped the gun making any kind of an announcement.
Yeah.
Because they have to be...
I think the guy who's doing this Atari box, I think he's the one that did that Atari watch on Indiegogo that failed as well. I think it's the same guy.
Uh-oh.
I'm pretty sure of it.
That doesn't bode well.
No, it doesn't.
Well, is he Atari? Does he work for...
No. I think maybe he bought the IP in 2013. I think.
I mean, that's the problem. There's no real Atari anymore.
Oh, it's been gone for years.
Yeah.
It's just a name running around out there now.
Yeah.
The only place I like to see Atari now is in Blade Runner 2049.
There you go. Yeah. On the future that... Remember when that movie was made and Atari computers were like, that was the future. And they thought when they made the movie that Atari would be a computer of the future. That it was just, you know, that was going to be it. There was no...
Well, it's in the new movie, too. That's what I just said.
Well, they just...
It's in the old movie, but it's in the new movie.
No, but what I'm saying is that that vision of the future, and so even though that's not the way the future worked out, they continued the future of the first movie into the second movie as if Atari did become,
yes,
you know, the standard computer company, yep, which I think is, you know,
it was great. My favorite part of the movie.
Yeah, yeah. It really was. I used to look for those little Atari logos, yep, when I was running through the city.
Well, there's a huge one in the new
movie. And there's a big giant yellow one in the, yeah. So,
it's like, oh, be right back, honey. I got a good cigarette.
Yeah. I don't know. I nobody knows what they're doing. There's no news. There's no updates. I don't know if this guy can develop games or have games developed. What kind of games would they do? But I would like to see if this thing actually happens, and we're all skeptical. Wouldn't it be great if, besides doing the streaming and everything else, if there were some onboard actual Atari arcade video games built in?
That would be really cool.
That would be great. Because not everybody has the money to go out and buy an upright, or the room to put an upright in their home. And wouldn't it be great to play like Tempest or Centipede or something, but the actual... I know you can do it with MAME.
Yes, you can do it. Oh, RetroPie.
Yeah. But, you know, not everybody's a hacker that can build their own cabinet and their own controllers and all that stuff. No.
It's going to be interesting to see what this is. You know, I've been watching it, but not a whole information's coming out.
Nothing's happening. Yeah. So another computer game company, Nintendo, also is deciding to sell their classic games, their own hardware, which up to now has always been done by somebody else somehow. And Nintendo got in the act last year with the Mini.
NES Mini.
The Mini, yep. NES Mini. And this year, it's the Super NES Mini. This SNES Mini. And not really cheap.
No, it's $80. It's more expensive than the NES Mini, but it does come with an extra controller. So it's got two controllers instead of one, like the NES Mini did. It's a neat little console. I've seen reviews on them, on people playing them, and you can also hack it, just like the NES Mini. Matter of fact, I think you can use the exact same software that you hacked the NES Mini on the Super NES Mini to put more Super Nintendo games on it, which is kind of cool if you think about it. There's a lot of Super Nintendo games I like, and I would love to have a little mini console, a little Super Nintendo sitting on my shelf, playing games like Super Ghouls and Ghosts.
Yeah.
And Knights of the Round, which I really love. Mr. Do. Yeah. Some other ones like that.
Yeah.
But in my area, they got quite a few in my area. Nintendo shipped a whole lot more of these things than they did the NES Minis. And I saw evidence of that in my local area. The problem is some of the stores were supposed to be instituting a one per... customer rule. I didn't really see that. I saw people pushing shopping carts of these things out the door at Best Buy. And then promptly, maybe 6 hours later, I go on Craigslist or whatever and search in my area, and there they are for like $200, $300, that kind of stuff. And there's still quite a few in Metro, but they've been slowly dropping in price because I think a lot of people aren't giving in and buying them offline, you know, which just rewards that type of situation.
Well, I think a lot of people were also burned by the NES Mini last year.
I was.
And just said, you know, I know that when I saw the SNES Mini come out, I'm like, I'm not even going to, I'm not falling for it this year.
No, I just went out just to see what was out there. And there was quite a few, much more than the original NES Mini release. And they did restock a second time in my area, but those sold out extremely fast yet again.
Is Best Buy the only place you can get it?
No, you can get them at Target, Walmart, GameStop, but they're gone.
They're all gone.
They don't last long at all in my area.
Do you think they'll be back for Christmas?
They're supposed to be doing more and more shipments as you get closer to Christmas. So eventually I'm hoping maybe you'll be able to walk into a store and see them piled up there. That's when I would get one.
So the reviews for these are... they're not cutting corners with the games. It's just as if you were plugged into an SNES.
Yeah, they're really good.
Yeah, they're really good.
Yeah, they're really good.
Unlike when you...
Especially with the HDMI output.
Yeah. So, unlike when we got shortchanged on some of the Atari games, when other companies would release plug-and-plays and things, you know, the sound might be off.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so Nintendo, on one hand, you have quality control because the actual game company is
developing,
you know,
it,
yes,
producing it.
But they make them; they don't make as many of them.
Dope.
And they almost create a shortage for them, yeah, and drive up the price.
Well, heck, there was people selling them on eBay before there was even released.
Okay. Some people just need to be slapped.
And they were selling pre-orders on, yeah, on eBay, yeah, too.
If you're listening, if you did that, you need to be slapped.
What's really fun to do is go on the eBay and look at sold listings and see how many people's bought. $200, $300. It's like, really?
Wow.
Are you crazy? What's going on?
Better hope that seller gets his hands on one. Well.
But, you know, the big draw for this is it's actually something made by a very well-known and well-loved gaming company, Nintendo.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people have really fond memories of the,
sure,
NES. That's what they grew up with.
Yep.
The Super Nintendo just blew stuff out of the water when it came out because it was so cool.
Yeah.
So a lot of people have nostalgia for that. And actually owning something that's being made by the company that you grew up with, that's not a name that somebody bought. It's still the actual company. That's a big draw for some real big fans.
Oh, I feel it. Believe me. I mean, we'll never be able to go out and have that experience with Atari.
Nope.
I mean, it's over.
Coleco.
Or Coleco.
Or Mattel.
Okay, now you're just bumming me out. But you're right. No. You're right. And you would think that, like, they're the elders. They should get the most respect. And,
yeah,
and none of them are in the video game company anymore, or the companies just don't exist, really, anymore.
And we're all very well aware that you can just retropie this. That's, yeah, the first thing I see in responses is, you just do a retropie. We understand that. This is more of the nostalgia, having something made by the company that you grew up with.
I know people who don't have an ounce of technology type instincts in them.
They don't got no technics.
They got nothing.
Got no technics.
I'm one of them. I have to go out and buy something that's, or I can figure out something.
I have a soldering iron here.
No, I don't have a soldering iron. Sorry. I know, I'm a big letdown. I have other things, but I don't have a soldering iron.
And use a lighter and a clothes.
I do have a paper clip and a lighter, however. And, no, I just don't do anything with electronic circuitry or anything like that. But there are plenty of people out there who did grow up with Atari who would love to have an Atari and play Atari.
Oh, my God.
They're not going to go out and retro-pie anything. They're not even going to know that that exists. They're not. They don't even know that they can play them on the computer. They don't know anything about, like, you know, MAME or Stella or any of that. They don't know any of that stuff. When I tell them, they get thrilled.
Well, it's like when that game's released, that Atari Flashback Portable, just having an SD card slot on there, that made me so excited because now I can play all these kinds of games. A lot of them don't work, but thanks to the guys over at Atari H, there's some programmers over there that's actually retweak the games to get them to work.
Yeah.
On the Flashback, which is pretty awesome to do. I just wish they would put an SD card slot on one of their regular Atari Flashback
units. I was going to say that, on a regular full size.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. They're Hyperkin's releasing an Atari 2600 little console, actually plays the actual cartridges themselves. I'm kind of interested in seeing how that's going to work out.
But that Flashback Portable can be plugged into a TV.
Yeah, HDMI output.
And when you want to play 2600 games on a TV, don't you usually go for the Sega controller?
Usually, yeah.
And isn't the Flashback kind of like the Sega controller?
I don't think so, no.
No? Well, it's not a joystick.
It is. It's got a Atari. Oh, you mean the little Flashback unit.
Yeah
it is. It's got the D-pad.
It's got
stuff.
The D-pad. Yeah. So
my brain's a little someplace
don't
else.
You kind of have that whole experience by plugging the Flashback Portable into a TV and using the Flashback Portable as the Sega-like controller, and then you got it on the big screen?
Yeah. The resolution's not so well. I got the cable to hook it up to the TV screen. Mm-hmm. It's only a composite.
Oh, yeah.
And it looks nasty when you blow that thing up on a big screen. You can play it, but it doesn't look as good as it does on that small screen.
Ugh. So, if what else is out there that if you... before we finish on that, you are not going to continue looking for an SNES Mini?
No. If I casually come across one and it's sitting on the shelf, I'll pick it up. But I'm not going to go out looking for it. The one I really want to get is the Super Famicom Mini, because I love the box art.
Oh, yeah.
And I've already got the Famicom Mini Classic that a buddy sent to me.
Yeah.
So I figured, oh, since I got that Japanese version, I need to get the Japanese version of the other one.
And actually, the Famicom I thought was pretty sharp looking with the red color and everything. So
red and white.
Yeah, yeah.
Because the controller's wired in, though. They're not, they don't plug in on that one. But it does no big deal to me.
Yeah, I mean, at this point.
It's still cool.
Yeah.
And it has a game I like on it, that beat-em-up game, River City Rampage or something like that.
Now, will, was it Flashback that did the ColecoVision Flashback, right?
Yeah, we had the ColecoVision Flashback.
Do you think they'll do another version of
it? It didn't sell too well.
Well, maybe if they consulted with people who actually knew their way around a ColecoVision, like the Intellivision Flashback, maybe they could get it a little bit closer.
Yeah, the television flashback, I think, sold better. It's actually a nice little machine.
Yeah.
They still messed up the controllers, though, but they're not, they can't, you can't plug them into an Intellivision 2 or one of these Super Arcade Pro Intellivisions and get them to work. You got to rewire them and everything, which was a big bummer because it would have been nice to have new manufacturer replacement controllers for an older Intellivision without having to rewire the crazy things.
When I had a ColecoVision, which I still have, I would always use alternative controllers like a Waco or whatever. And I would, you know, have the V cable so I could use the keypad to, and all that stuff. Maybe if they come out with a ColecoVision Flashback, they should not include it with the controllers. Sell them as an extra for the people who need them or don't care. Oh, yeah. But have them so that they plug in with the standard plug. Those of us who had a ColecoVision, who used alternate Atari controllers or whatever, would just use our own controllers. We already have them. That might make them some money. That might save them some money in the main, because they're not packing control. They could lower the price of the Flashback or sell for the same price. I don't care. But do a better job on... I was so excited about that ColecoVision Flashback.
I was too.
I kept it for a month and I gave it to somebody.
Yeah,
I gave it away because it was frustrating me.
Yeah,
and then I, you know, got, I have the ColecoVision with the trackball, you know, the roller controller, and the carts and everything. And you know, you can't. I mean, look, ColecoVision Flashback. It was interesting, but you know, if you have a ColecoVision, a lot of people don't. But I would like to see them do an upgrade to that ColecoVision Flashback. And I would like to see them get back into the tabletop market again. And if they do, please start with Berserk, which I know they won't. But that would be my wish.
Yeah, mine too.
Because they did have Berserk on the drawing board 35 years ago.
Yes, they did. It would have been so awesome.
Yeah, it would have been actually kind of easy to do, too. With that setup. And it just would have been a lot of fun. Hey, they did Zaxxon.
Yeah. They can do Zaxxon, they can do Berserk.
They can do Zaxxon, they can do anything.
Yeah.
And I find that version of Zaxxon very playable and very Zaxxon-like. You know, it's very 3D isometric, just as frustrating as the arcade.
Yeah. Yeah, it is.
It is.
I can't get very far in it at all.
But I love it, and I love to play
it. But it's so cool
yeah.
the way they did that 3D effect on that little tabletop.
Yeah. So they could certainly, they pulled off Donkey Kong, they pulled, no, they do Donkey Kong.
Yeah, they did Donkey Kong.
They did Frogger.
Galaxian.
Pac-Man.
Ms. Pac-Man.
Ms. Pac-Man.
Ms. Pac-Man's awesome.
If they could do Galaxian, they could do Berserk.
Oh, yeah.
So, I don't know if we'll ever see that, but we're only the people, the hardcore gamers, would actually buy these things, but why listen to us?
No. We don't want to listen to you. Are you crazy?
Anything else you want to bitch about tonight?
No. I don't want to make it a bitch session. I just want to talk about stuff. Well, on a positive note, you actually finally got a Bridge Direct Frogger.
I did. I have the Centipede and the... Okay, so here's the situation. That was kind of a sad little case here. Willie sent me the Centipede one months ago. He also sent me the Qbert one. I was so busy that I put them on the shelf because that's what we like to do. We like to put these things on a shelf and display them. And nice. A few weeks ago, I took down the Qbert one. Because every once in a while, I'd walk by and I'd press the button of the Centipede one to watch the demo. And I thought, okay, so I'm going to find some time to sit down and play with this. The attract mode never worked on Qbert. And so I tried to check the batteries. The batteries were actually at full power. I used the battery tester. I swapped them out just in case. The thing wouldn't work. So Willie stops by. And he said, if you have a soldering iron, I can fix this. I don't have a soldering iron. So I gave him a lighter and a paperclip.
And he MacGyvered. But Willie!
There was one wire missing, and he MacGyvered it. He soldered it back with the paperclip and a lighter. Thing works perfect now. I've been playing it this afternoon. And then after multiple trips to Walmart, which I don't like to go to, I kept looking where the handheld video game thingies are. They have, you know, the Mattel games and all that stuff. And I was like, well, they just don't sell those Bridge Direct games in the Walmart here. And Willie says, you have to go down the aisle where the Star Wars figure is, not where all the Star Wars figures are, not where those little video games are. Sure enough, whole separate aisle. We walk down Star Wars, bottom shelf, all the Bridge Direct games are there.
All of them.
Lots of them. Because nobody can find them. I've been in that store for months thinking, well, maybe another shipment came in. Nothing. So Willie's like, no. So listen, if you are looking for one of these and you can't find them in your area, go back to Walmart.
Down the Star Wars aisle.
Go down the Star Wars aisle. Look on the very bottom shelf. Look down at your feet. Right under the Star Wars figures. They're all going to be looking up at you, begging for you to buy them and bring them home.
Us, take us home, please.
And the Frogger one, you know, the Centipede one's great. It's based on the 7800, Atari 7800 version. The Qbert is the Nintendo version, but the Frogger one is the arcade.
Maybe. It may be the Sega Genesis version.
Okay, so we're not clear on
it's
that.
It's close.
But you know what? It doesn't matter. It's
Frogger. It does have the music from the arcade on it.
Yes, and it's... So, I'm just going to call it. It's Frogger.
It's just Frogger.
So, yeah, that came home.
With a color screen.
With a color screen.
Full color screen.
Yeah. None of this LCD stuff.
LCD, BFD simulation
stuff. Where the stuff hops around. No, this is actually smooth video game animation. So, yeah, I'm thrilled.
Yay!
So, go to Star Wars aisle and Walmart and have a Merry Christmas or whatever. What else did we want to cover? This was fun. You have to understand, Willie and I always do this separately. We never do this in the same room.
And this is impromptu.
It is.
I have no idea what we're talking about.
And, oh, I don't know if you can tell, but we're scriptless.
Scriptless?
We
lose a script.
We usually have a bulleted outline. We have notes. Put it this way. Before we hit the record button, we know what we're talking about. We just hit the record button and we just started talking.
Let it fly.
Yeah. So, what about toys? Do you have something you want to promote with ToyToon?
Well, gotta think about that one.
I do.
Well, you can go first then while I'm thinking.
Okay. So, I showed Willie this video I made. We're going to be uploading it to the ToyToon YouTube channel. Is that what you call it?
Well, it's part of the Arcade USA thing, but there's a whole separate ToyToon playlist.
Okay.
It's all on Arcade USA channel.
So I had some time on my hands, and all I'll tell you is that it involves the Creature from the Black Lagoon, which is very in fashion right now because of Halloween.
Yes.
And this is a total, what do you call it? It's like kind of like an original thing that I, what would you call it? What did I do? Kind of like a modification to something?
Yeah.
So, I had this little creature from the Black Lagoon, Big Head, from Sideshow. It was a keychain. And it was just hanging around. And so I do a video on what I ended up doing with it to actually have it displayed properly. And
it's cool.
I think it's interesting, yeah. And I'm glad that Willie likes it. And there's a couple of tips in there for things that you could probably use for... other things that you might be modding or whatever, and it involves LED lights, and it's not complicated at all.
No. It'd be kind of cool to see what other people modify like that.
Yeah. It was just a fluke that I had that round jar that kind of fits the theme.
Yeah.
Kind of. But, yeah, I'd like to see... I would love to see what other people do. But, anyway, so I'll push that. We'll mention that on the next Toy Tomb episode. Well, probably... I don't know if this... I don't know if this recording is playing during the 5200 episode or if it's playing through the next Toy Tomb episode or both. But anyway.
It could be its own episode.
Or it could be its own. This recording could be its own episode.
It's a whole special little episode.
Want to take like November or something off and just run this?
Just run this. There we go. New Space 1999.
We could actually cut it up and do like get 2 months out of it.
Get 2 months out of it. Chop up an episode.
Yeah. We might lose a lot of listeners, but.
Yeah.
These two idiots with a microphone.
Yeah. Oh, they got the microphone again.
What else did we explore this afternoon?
Well, besides me fixing stuff.
I was working. I work at home. And I told Willie, I said, yes, you can stop by, but it's a work day for me. I'm going to work.
Here, fix this.
So Willie sat at my... I was on the computer, drawing on the computer. Willie and I have our drawing board. So Willie sat at my drawing board. And he's like, do you have anything to fix? And I'm like, well, I have a Lynx. I have a BridgeDirect Qbert. I have 5200 controllers. I mean, you can just bring a sleeping bag, stay here, and just go to town.
Fix stuff.
And then we got to looking at some of the Toy Tomb stuff I was thinking of. And I was lucky enough to find on eBay a toy that I had when I was very young. I'd say I was pretty small. And... third grade, fourth grade, I don't remember. And it was the Marx Mystery Spaceship. And if you want to Google Marx Mystery Spaceship, you will find videos of people fixing them, using them, selling them, whatever, on YouTube, on eBay, whatever. And, you know, as you, typical of these kinds of toys, they tend to be expensive. I bought this last year before I moved here. And I was planning on moving here, and Willie and I would talk on Skype about all the things that we would do once I got here, that once I'm set up, that we could, you know, I could get more involved in for the podcast. So I said, I would love to find Marx's mystery spaceship. And he's like, well, let's look for it. I said, I look for it all the time. It's really expensive. So we were both looking online at the same time, and I came across this one in the box on eBay for a fraction of the price in mint condition. I mean, the thing is just, well, it's not mint.
It's in good, very good condition.
It's in excellent condition. And it works great. And all the parts are there. All the little spacemen, the moon men, the rocket launch, all the parts are there complete in the box. So I lucked out. And when I saw the price, I thought it was a gag. It wasn't a gag. It was just somebody who usually sells, I don't know, garden stuff or whatever, and came across this in their travels and just stuck any old price on it. It was one of those kinds of, you know, moments that you get every once in a while on eBay. Oh, they don't know what they have or what they're selling. And I bought it, and they did a beautiful job of packaging it. And so I took it out of the box, and we were playing with it today, and I'll be doing a complete episode on that. But I did point out to Willie that most of the people who listen to the Toy Tomb have no idea what the Marx Mystery Spaceship is, because it's about 10 years before their time.
Pretty much.
But look it up.
It's cool.
Because it's really, really cool.
It is. It's cool.
Yeah.
It really is. It's really a really cool toy.
Yeah. And I'll probably do a video on it, too, for the two or three people, you know, in the age bracket who will actually bother looking at the video. But anyway.
Well, you know, I had a good show donation. I had a Ideal Rebound game in the box given to me. I love that game. It's kind of like Shuffleboard.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, Rebound.
But you zip it up, bounce off these little rubber bands, comes back. You try to get too close to the pit as you can. Had that given to me. I've picked up a couple of neat Playmate Star Trek items, which I'll be doing a video on.
Mm-hmm.
The original Enterprise and the Galileo spacecraft. Not a whole other stuff I've picked up lately, though. It's been kind of dry toy-wise.
You know, it's interesting. I don't know. Ideal was a big toy player when you were a kid.
Very
when I was a kid, Ideal was huge. Remco was huge when I was a kid. You too. You mentioned what, Playmate? Who made the Star Trek toy?
Playmates.
Playmates.
In the 90s.
Yeah, they were after my time. Was Marx a toy maker in your time?
Yes.
Because yes, they were big in the 50s, the 60s,
yep.
70s. So yes. 70s, yeah,
yep.
Yeah.
It was my time, yep.
Yeah, so Mark's made terrific toys.
Oh, they made some of the greatest toys. I love my wind-up train set.
Train set, they did the best play sets. They did, like, you know, cowboy stuff, you know, cavalry sets. But they were the ones that did the dinosaur sets.
Oh,
and
yeah.
They sold these things and space sets. And they did them in, like, a million different ways. If you didn't want to buy the big playset, you could buy just the bag of dinosaurs. Or you could buy the smaller bag of dinosaurs. Or you could buy another playset that had the dinosaurs in it. Or the astronauts, or the spacemen. All these astronauts and little spacemen that are in the Mark's Mystery Spaceship were molded at a smaller size than the size they used for their space sets and all of their other space sets and Gemini, NASA space sets and... So they recycled a lot of their toys, but they did them in such a way that every time they did them, you had to have them.
Oh, yeah.
And Mark's was great at that. And so they were a huge player, you know, for toy manufacturers when I was a kid. I don't think they're around anymore. I don't think Mark's is around, is it?
No.
I don't think they are.
No, they're gone.
Lewis Mark's and Company.
Yeah, they're gone.
But if you wanted it, Mark's made it. And they did a great job. They also did the line of... Nutty Mads, which were the, when the weirdos were popular, they did the plastic molded Nutty Mads with the pop, you know, the bulging eyes and everything. And then they got the license from Hawk to do the weirdos. So when the Nutty Mads came out, they also did the weirdos. You didn't have to buy the model. You could buy the weirdo plastic figure that looked like the box art. There's Freddy Flame out over there on the show. I still have mine from when I was a kid. Yeah, I mean, Mark's was great. They got the Disney license. They got the Hanna-Barbera license. So they did all the Flintstone toys and the Disney toys. And they were huge. And they were all kind of affordable. They weren't like real high-end expensive. They were very playable, very well done, very well designed.
Yes, they were.
What else you got?
Well, you know, Remco Toys... They made a lot of great battery-operated toys.
They did a lot of
there was
military
one,
guns.
Yeah, there was one that I really would have liked to have had. I don't know when it came out. I want to say it came out in the late 60s. But it was their battle tank. It was a battery-operated battle tank. It was mm-hmm. huge. And it would run over stuff.
I remember that.
Oh, yeah.
It wasn't fast. The torque was set. The gears were set so it had power.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah. It would crawl over anything.
Crawl over anything, yeah.
I would love to find one of those again.
Do you remember Monkey Patrol?
No.
So, in the 60s, there was something called Monkey Patrol. And it was Remco. And they were the camouflaged army helmets. But it was called the Monkey Division, Monkey Patrol. And they were guns and rifles and stuff, but they were like science fiction-y looking.
Okay.
Well, the pistols that shot these like big grenade things in them... were sleek and long and very cool looking. Sometimes TV productions, when they didn't have time, or they just thought, well, you know, the cost of us designing something, they would go to the toy store. I'm not kidding. And they would go to the toy store and they would buy something and paint it up, alter it, maybe take a piece off, put a piece on. And there's two cases I can think of this off the top of my head. If you ever watched Lost in Space.
Yes.
The ray guns.
Yes.
Those were Monkey Patrol Remco pistols that they painted up.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And if you ever watched the old Batman TV show.
Yes.
There's this ray gun. It looked almost like a bazooka or a big thing that Robin would pull out of the Batmobile. And it had a sight on it and everything. And I don't know if it shot a ray or whatever, but they used that a couple of times in the show. That was a Mattel Air Blaster. That long black thing that you would pump.
Is that one of the toys that they banned?
Yeah, well, yeah, I think so.
That has Kurt Russell as a kid promoting it?
Kurt Russell was in the commercial.
Oh, I love that.
And it shot air. And yes. We used to play with that thing all the time. Well, they painted that up and they used that on the Batman TV show.
I'd like to find one of those.
As a bat, the bat ray or something that was, you know. Yeah, so, yeah, the more I've been investigating toys lately, that I've been finding out these. And, of course, I remember it was Lost in Space. You can see it on Hulu, I think. And sure enough, if you see stills and everything from Lost in Space, they're holding a Remco Monkey Division gun.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah.
I had a really neat gun made by Mattel, I believe. It was the burp gun.
Oh, yeah.
You pull back a little thing and...
Yeah, it was a machine gun.
Yeah,
It was a Thompson submachine gun.
Yeah.
And they had the, with the wood grain handle and,
oh, yeah,
and the butt with the black.
Yep.
And then I had the green one with the camouflage on it that was, it was a green camouflage one that I played Army with.
That was a really great toy.
Yeah. And if you get a roll of caps and you put it in with a gun, where the cartridge goes, you could put a roll of caps in there when you pull back the bolt and shoot, it would shoot around a cap, you know, and of course we're breathing in all this sulfur and crap and everything,
but it was fun.
Oh my God, it was great. Well, we've been going for over a half an hour.
Yeah, I think it was a pretty fun thing to do, something short.
We had to do something. As long as we ended up visiting each other, we had to record something together.
Oh yeah.
So
next time we hear us, we'll be talking about Space 1999.
Oh, goody.
Or like RK likes to call it, flying girders in space.
Girders in space. I'm telling you, whenever you said, oh, I love that spaceship, I love the Eagle, I'm like, it's a bridge girder with a nose cone and 4 feet.
But it's so cool.
It's a bridge girder. It's a flying girder. But, you know, it made you happy. I don't get it. So if you were a Space 1999 fan, tune in to hear Willie. If you weren't a Space 1999 fan, tune in to hear me.
Both sides of the coin.
Yeah, I'll be kind.
Thanks for listening.
I'll be kind of horrible about it. All right. Listen, everybody. Take care. This was fun. Thanks for listening.
Thanks for listening to the show. The Toy Tune Podcast is a proud member of the Retro Junkies Network and also the Throwback Network. Special thanks to Paul Nurmanen of the Intellivisionaries for the theme song for the Toy Tune. Please tune in next time for more Retro Toy Talk.